okay? And then we'll get there one day, okay? Who we are, who are we? Yeah? We are an end-time church, house of prayer, and bride of Christ in preparation, in intimacy, character, and power to stand with Israel and to bring in the harvest of the nations for Jesus' glorious return. It will take a while to unpack it. In fact, I feel like I can preach for 6 months on it, but I probably won't. But at least I will devote a couple of months. I'm going to read it one more time, so I'm just giving you a little taste. Okay, we are an end-time church, house of prayer, and bride of Christ in preparation, in intimacy, character, and power, to stand with Israel and to bring in the harvest of the nations for Jesus' glorious return. Amen? Okay, that's good. It's all right. Okay, people are taking photos, so I'll leave it there for a little while. Hallelujah. There's a lot to be unpacked there. That's where we are going. Okay, amen? By the grace of God, we will accomplish everything that God wants us to accomplish. Okay, next slide. Actually, I do have a clicker. Okay, hallelujah. We've been studying in the life of David. How many feel we are in transition? I'm hearing it everywhere this year. I felt that the Lord had given me a spiritual dream, as well as everywhere I go, I'm hearing transition. We're in a transition. Body of Christ is in transition. There's an individual transition as well as big picture transition. And we've devoted quite a few weeks learning lessons, deep, valuable lessons. When you're in the wilderness, how to transit out of wilderness. It's not about chances. It's not about other people. It's all about character issue. It's about lessons that God wants to teach us that we learn. And we've went through 10 chapters of 1 Samuel when David was in wilderness and picked out many lessons. David's life can be broken down in a number of ways, but one of the ways that you can break down his life is during those five seasons, depending on his life in different location. In the early years, up to about age 17, David was born and raised in Bethlehem. That's where he learned to worship God. And then after that, he had an early success, season two, in Gibeah of Saul. When he slayed Goliath, he was promoted to a national level. But after that, being anointed by Samuel to be king, somehow, instead of getting exalted, that exaltation and promotion, success was very short-lived. And then he entered into the time of great difficulty and adversity, and then we call that time of test. Around a place of Adullam years, lasted between 5 to 7 years, and he was chased all over Israel and out of Israel. Finally, he came back. His exile years ended. You know, when you are in the time of wilderness, it has limit. Every test, every trial has a time limit. So if you're going through a time of trial of your life, remember it has limit. There is a divine set time limit which will not go beyond if we walk with God. Amen? That time ended, and David began to move back to Hebron, where he was anointed over one tribe, Judah, and he was ruling and reigning there for about 7.5 years until the final stage where he was brought back to Jerusalem to be anointed king over 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in every season, you learn something different. Now, it doesn't mean in different seasons the same lessons are not applied. You're learning the same lessons all the time in every season. Lesson on humility, lesson on dealing with mistreatment in life, lesson on, you know, how to respond in a time of adversity, lesson on forgiveness. I mean, there are so many lessons how to get strength from God, but each season has its ebb and flows, and when you're in transition, it is very, very important that we are alert, we are not disorientated, transition well, and then make sure that we are walking in the principles of God's word. Amen? Can we say principles of God's word? Amen. You know, worldly wisdom really fixes on what happens out there to get me out of trouble. We look for people of power, people in authority, opportunities or finances. We look for all these things. But in fact, that there is a deeper spiritual principle at work in us. And if we are walking in integrity and according to the principles of the Word of God, you will definitely move forward. That's how we move, regardless of season. Amen? This is really important. The Word of God has to be the guiding principle of all our decisions. And the time of trial is time when we are under pressure to make wrong decisions. That's when we need to make right decisions. Now, without going all of it, just a quick overview. I'm trying to boil down everything that we've learned, which is impossible. But what is, would you say, is the main lesson from David's wilderness? We've spent many weeks on it, 10 chapters. What would you say is the main lesson that David had to learn when he was in wilderness? You can say many things. They're all important, dealing with mistreatment, disappointment, brokenness, yielding, grace of yielding. But if I, you know, have to boil down, for me, there's not right and wrong answer, I would say it's surrender. It's not very often always emphasized lesson, but under circumstances, under pressure, you come to a place of brokenness and come to a place of surrender. That's when your pain changes to your woundings change. You can get inner healings, but when you surrender, and until you surrender, the wounds will not bring out life, healing for others. So God brings us back and back all the time to a place of surrender where our wounds, mistreatments turn to a source of healing. Healing for you, healing for others. It becomes a well. The deeper you get wounded in life, the deeper the water flows out of your innermost being for others to drink and find healing. Amen? Okay, good. I feel like we are all in agreement. And if I can put it this way, it's about weakness, really. It's not about strength and control. Christian life is about embracing weakness. How many want power? How many want God's power? Amen. We all do. Did you know that, I mean, you know, some of you know, that God's power rests upon the weak. It's a principle. Power flows out of weakness, not strength. Not when you feel strong. Last Friday night, actually, I think I might have shared with Mia in a prayer meeting, I felt, Lord, I'm so, you know, Lord, I need your strength and so on. And then I felt the Lord is saying, Paul, you are too strong already. Your problem is not weakness, your problem is strength. You're too strong. That's why my power cannot, you know, rest fully the way He wants to. We are too strong. We are too confident. We're too full of our knowledge, our know-how, our judgment, our discernment. We are too full of ourselves that the power of God cannot rest on us. But in the time of wilderness, we learn to be broken. We learn yielding and stay in weakness, in fact. Embrace our natural weakness, our limitation, so that the power of God can rest upon our life. I believe it's a great lesson that David learned, because after all that breaking, what happened last week, just before the dawn was the darkest, that's when David learns to draw God's strength in the pit at the lowest point. Why? Because he learned to embrace brokenness so that God's power and strength can rest upon him. Amen? So it's okay to be weak. It's okay if you feel weak. In fact, God is stronger. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. So it's the same lesson Paul learned. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. It's a funny thing. Whenever you get revelation knowledge, we get puffed up. When you learn some new things, we feel like we know more than what we actually don't know, right? So teenagers, half-baked knowledge is very dangerous. when you just get P, you feel like you're the best driver in the world. You're not aware of the dangers and gaps in your knowledge, so they get into a lot of accident. And he said, my graces, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Let's say together, for my strength is made perfect in not strength, in weakness. Nobody wants to be weak. Nobody likes it. But that's the place God becomes strong. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Woo! Pleasure, Paul says, in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. Not because we are very annoying people, but for Christ's sake, he embraces the stigma that anointing carries on him. So for when I am weak, then I am strong. So that power of God can rest upon him. How many know that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain? It's true of your life and my life, true of corporate life, church, true of nation, true of everything. And as we move into the new season, and I'm going to actually conclude our study, we're going to stop. In 2 weeks, it's been going on, but after that, we're going to have a vision statement, and then we're going to one day come back and look at the rest of David's life, but we're going to stop in 2 weeks, but I forgot what I was going to say. There was something very important. I'm really weak. Lord, help my brain cell. Something important, I forgot. Okay, it'll come back. Doesn't matter. All right. We are in transition. I wanted to put that, summarize it. When you feel weak, don't be discouraged, my friends. That's the opportunity for God to be very strong on your life. None of us will succeed unless we learn God to be strong in your life, in my life, in your life. So let's learn for God to be strong. And it's okay to be weak at times. Okay, now, David transitions beautifully out of wilderness and comes into now a new season. And David gets anointed as king in Hebron. But while he was in Ziklag, he went after Amalekites and took everything back. His family was taken. He was weeping. He was very sad. But he rose and then took everything back. Around the same time, news came to David, because Saul and Jonathan were killed in the battle against Philistines. Now, David is transitioning out of wilderness season. Now he's entering into his call. He's being anointed as king. When that happened, Israel as a nation is moving in time of great transition. David had come out of that transition and moving in as a foreigner. Nation of Israel is now moving into transition, which lasted 7 years, because nation of Israel was ruled by the house of Saul. But God had a plan. God was raising up a young breed, new one, a man after his own heart. Man and woman after his own heart. God wanted to transfer the leadership from the house of Saul to the house of David. And that was a huge transition that lasted 7 years. Transition just began. And that transition, usually when you say, oh yeah, I'm transition, romantic ideas, it wasn't romantic. It was a time of great turmoil and civil war in Israel. Power transition is always painful. They were in war. Last 2 years was particularly painful because the king, Saul's son, would be killed by his own people. And there is a lot of power politics and, a lot of murder, a lot of death, a lot of bloodshed, a lot of treachery that's taking place, shifting the power base from one house to another. And it is in this time absolutely important that David's integrity, David had to act wisely in his leadership to bring healing and unity to the nation to move forward. Because it's so easy for violence to escalate in this time of season. How many know that when you change a king over a nation, there will be a lot of people who will be unhappy. A lot of people who are immature and very happy to take more than what they deserve, new positions. In this time, it's a time where great wisdom is required from the leadership, arising new leadership in power. Otherwise, many people will die and nation will never heal from the wounds. A lot of humility is required. And this is what David was prepared for, all that mistreatment. And he's acting very, very wisely. How many know if God promotes you in your work above your peers, there will be some people who will be very happy for you. There will be others who will be inside very sad for themselves. You're creating enemy. Just the success carries with it. You're a target. So unless you know how to, be wise and act graciously, you're going to have a lot of enemies because you're successful. So David brings that great wisdom in there. And David was anointed over just one tribe, but all 11 tribes will follow, and it will take 7 years for God to do that. So the verse that really described those 7 years in Israel is 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Now, let me throw a question without answering. Blue, can you read that? Is the church going through the same process? Is God bringing out new leadership and unity in the body of Christ? Something to consider. Because under Saul, or under, when God moves, usually God, very, very few times God starts in the center of established power, because power tends to corrupt. So usually God stands from the outer ring, and there is a turmoil. A lot of hearts will be tested. Now, I believe God, Jesus said in John 17, I'm going to unite my church. My church will become one. Amen? How many know that God is raising up new breed of people? Generation of John the Baptist, so to speak. And there is a great David's in the last days. Great wisdom and integrity is required. Otherwise, we're going to have a civil war. Church will begin to... Anyway, let's not go in there too much, but Israel is in transition. Now, how was that David acted wisely? How many know that phrase continually? David acted wisely. David acted wisely. You need to act wisely in your own home, in your workplace, in the church. So wisdom is so important. Somebody can be very gifted and very unwise and get himself into a lot of trouble. When Joseph had a dream, he was a man of destiny, but he didn't have a lot of wisdom. He blabbed on the great vision of his brothers buying down, and he was hated, got into a lot of trouble. How was David's wisdom manifesting mainly during those 7 years of period in integrity and honor? Can we say that? Integrity. Honor. This is extremely important principle in the body of Christ. Integrity and honor. Hold on to it as your lifeline. When you're, especially in your leadership, whether you're doing a business, a small business, home, hold on to integrity and honor like your own lifeline. David had to act towards 11 tribes of Israel while he was calling was only partially fulfilled. David was called to rule over 12 tribes. Only one out of 12 was given. Towards 12, David had to act in honor and integrity continually. Otherwise, so much destruction will ensue. And also, church, this season, and the time we are in, is a great season of learning and forming our character. Our church mission and the vision is we want to prepare the bride of Christ. We want to see us, you and me, prepared and equipped in intimacy with the Lord. That's number one. And then character. That's integrity. Out of intimacy with the Lord and character, power flows. If it doesn't flow out of intimacy and character, that power will corrupt very quickly. It'll get you into trouble, get everybody into trouble. So David had to act with great, great discernment. We must learn to recognize the body correctly. This is, I believe, a very important lesson. Very, very important lesson. How to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Not only locally, but also when you interact with other parts of the body. How to give honor and how to act with integrity that will bring healing and unity. Because if David could have forced his way in without honoring the house of Saul, if he did that, his kingdom wouldn't have lasted. There would be so much destruction and bad blood between the northern and southern kingdom, it will never become one, truly. And many of us will be going through the same thing. And the Lord will test us in your workplace, in your ministry place, at home. The principle of honor. See, Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, we must recognize the Lord's body correctly. And he said that because you don't conduct yourself, Paul is saying to Corinthian church, you don't conduct yourself rightly, you don't recognize the body, you don't give honor to one another, you treat a weaker body with a wrong attitude, therefore some of you are sick. Some of you are dead before time. So when we talk about the healing in the body of Christ, it's not only a matter of anointing. If you want the wholeness in the body, yes, it is anointing, but also it's about maturity. To walk in continual fullness of healing and blessing. Amen? Do you agree? Yes. It's the word of God, yeah. Now, we'll go through pretty quickly. So David is in Ziklag. One Amalekite soldier came and told him of Saul's death and Jonathan's death. Now, I'm going to move very quickly. I'm sorry I have to move quickly. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 1 to chapter 5. So we kept covering too much ground, but the notes will be on the internet and our website, so you can download it and look at it at home. But Amalekai came and then brought the news, and then he brought, the Saul's crown and bracelet, and he's saying that, my Lord, David, that Saul was dying in the field and he was in pain. His life was still in him. Because he was in pain, I killed Saul. with my own hands and brought the crown and bracelet, thinking Saul, who was after David for many years, if he bring his crown and bracelet, he will be handsomely rewarded. Opportunist. How did David respond? He's got a bit of a shocking news. David wasn't happy at all. Blue line, this is what David said. How is it that you are not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy Lord's anointed? Then David called one of the young men and said, go near and execute him. And he struck him, so he died. Not most encouraging story on Sunday morning, but that was David's wisdom. David's wisdom. He does not reward wrong behavior. David also tore his clothes and mourned for Saul's death and composed a song in honor of Saul and Jonathan's life. See, this is one of the lessons I feel God is also pushing into my heart, all of us, is that we got to learn to see what God sees and feel what God feels about our adversaries in the body of Christ, because they are also members of his family. How many are not hurt in the church? Unless you're a baby. If you have some history, all kinds of stuff happen. We're all brothers. Do we have some adversaries in the body? If you're in the law, you know, if you're in a position of authority, unfortunately, you come to misunderstanding, disagreement. And the question is, do we mourn or rejoice over the downfall of those who have mistreated in the body of Christ? David mourned. There's an interesting proverb. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and displease him, and he might stop doing what he's doing. The rest of the verse goes in Proverbs. So don't rejoice over those who have hurt us or mistreated us when they are going through difficult time. But pray for him. I feel it's an important lesson. See, death of Saul meant salvation for David. When Saul died, it means David can become king, and he doesn't have run for his life. It's a day of great relief and deliverance. But sadness, the joy was overshadowed by grief over Saul and Jonathan. I don't think David just put on false crocodile tears. I feel he had actually heart of God. He learned to see people with spiritual eyes and see that who they are in God. I want to say, beware of those who carry the ministry of criticism in the body of Christ. Now, every now and then, of course not here, none of them here. They won't last here very long. If you are. You know, there's some people feel really called to pick faults with all the ministries. They search internet sites and, you know, this is bad, that person's bad. And it's a full-time job. Because it's a call to judge the body and warn the wolves and so on. We need discernment. We really need discernment. But somebody else's wrongness doesn't boost our rightness. Amen? If somebody's failure makes me feel like I am more right, it boosts my rightness or ego, you know what that is? That's self-righteousness. Their wrongness has nothing to do with my rightness. And in GI, we strongly discourage conversations that criticize other churches and ministries. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We don't want to do that. That's the enemy's job. Our job is to see our brothers and sisters do well. Right? David viewed Saul and Jonathan as the beauty of Israel and as mighty in God. Isn't that wonderful? The beauty of Israel is slain on the high place. How the mighty have fallen. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives. How can he say that? Jonathan, yes. Saul. But he saw through the eyes of God what call of God on Saul was, and the good days when Saul had good heart towards God, and he will bring honor in the time when Saul was dishonored. He was dismembered. Did you know that enemy cut off his head and then hung it on a wall as a display and dishonor? And David beheld, see, Psalm 27 verse 4, David's heart was, he was beholding the beauty of God. Very soon he saw that beauty of God on the people. He saw God's people as beautiful. Do we see that? Do we see God's people as beautiful? Because that really will raise us up. When we meet with each other, we've got to see through God's eyes, see each other beautiful in our call. Not pick faults with one another. God help us. God help me. Yeah? Amen. Jesus said, remove the log. Log eye. Log out of your eye first, and you will see the beauty in other people. And that's how we grow. When you always see the fault in others, you will never grow. You really never grow. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay. David's integrity and honor now. Now he has executed this bad news bearer. He asked the Lord. He says, David inquired of the Lord, said, shall I go up to any cities of Judah? And the Lord said, go up. David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. And there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. David inquires of the Lord again and again and again. That's what you learn in the time of brokenness and surrender. Because you trust less your judgment. 7 different occasions, David inquires of the Lord, sometimes more than once, about same situation. Like here, Lord, shall I go up? He says, yes, go up. Where? To Hebron. Keeps asking the Lord. And then it becomes more specific. And the first act of as a king, after being anointed as king, the first act that David did as a king was to honor the people of Jabesh Gilead. Jabesh Gilead were the people who moved at night, took away Saul's body. Saul was decapitated. His body hung on the walls. So they went and took Saul's body, and then gave him proper burial. And first thing David did as a king is to honor these people of Jabesh Gilead and bless them. You know how beautiful that is? What if David didn't do that? Because all the northern kingdom feel very insecure. Everybody is watching how David would treat the people associated with Saul's house. Remember, Saul treated anybody associated with David with great contempt. He killed all the priests. No honor. That man gave no honor. If you don't help me, I'll kill you. That was Saul. That was why he was dethroned. David never did that. The house of Saul, those who did good to house of Saul, they will honor them. The first act as a king that brings healing, that brings unity in the body of Christ. It relieves a lot of anxiety, especially those people who are close to Saul. Right? So it takes 7 years. And then there's a lot of civil war. I'll just give you a quick rundown on a few things that happened. In the house of Judah, David is king, and David has a chief army officer whose name is Joab. And then in the house of Saul, Saul died, and then there is a very weak son, weakling. His name is Ishbosheth, and he's a weak son. And then there is a strong army chief. His name is Abner. Abner is Ishbosheth's uncle. So can you see? He's a very strong person, You can't push him around. He will threaten you to kill you. But he is also Ishbosheth's uncle. So there is all this power politics that happens in the kingdom of Israel. It's very, very insecure. Very, very insecure. And if you play your cards right, you can collapse it. But David will never do such a thing. He doesn't do such a thing. It just collapses by itself. Abner made Ishbosheth king over Israel and moved the capital a little bit away from Gibeah to protect them from Philistines. Are you okay? I'm giving you a lot of information. I'm wondering whether it's too much or you're good. Yeah? All right. And then, as in soap opera or any, you know, drama, Abner touches Saul's concubine, Rizpah, a very pretty girl, which amounts to treason. And then Ishbosheth said, "Uncle, why did you take my dad's wife?" And he's really angry. And he says, "I'm going to turn the kingdom over from you to David." So he goes off, and then he begins to now talk to elders, and all the elders agree that they will turn the kingdom over to David. So that's the little saga that happened. And then there is a civil war taking place in Israel. And this is a pool of Gibeon. And two armies got together around the camp. And they're saying, "Hey, let's have some fun. We are really bored." They get 12 young men to fight each other as an Olympic. Who is stronger? And then as soon as you say, "Okay, young men, fight," they took each other's head, thrust with a sword, and all 24 died instantly, and a civil war broke out, and, you know, a lot of problem there. And, you know, Abner also, in the heat of the battle, killed Joab's, you know, younger brother, Asahel. So the bad blood continues to grow. And then Abner comes to David. Now he's brought all the elders of Israel and say, "We're going to anoint you as king." David holds a big feast, and then they all rejoice together. And then on the way, Abner is now leaving. Joab said, "Please call him back." He calls him back, and then also he kills Abner. He dies. It's very important. As soon as that happened, David says, "My kingdom is innocent. This is a treachery." And he honors Abner, composes a song. He immediately lets people know, "I didn't plan to kill Abner. The kingdom is not behind this." There's a lot of bad blood happening. And David had to be absolutely sure he honors kingdom of David, kingdom of Saul. And then he has integrity in all his dealings. He's not going to do anything to collapse the northern kingdom. He's always an agent of healing and deliverance, healing and friendship, healing and honor. Absolutely important. And finally, that's it. Yeah. And then one day, after Abner was mourned, Ishbosheth. Can you feel Abner died? Northern kingdom is very insecure. A lot of people feel insecure. David can come and kill me anytime. Judah is stronger and stronger. And one day, Ishbosheth, sleeping in his own bedroom, two younger men, not top rank, but sort of medium rank, come and take off Ishbosheth's head, bring it to David and say, "King, hear what I've done. I brought Ishbosheth's head to you. Now you can take over the kingdom." Thinking they will be rewarded. What did David do? He killed them. David never rewards treachery, but he always rewards honor, justice. This is how he established his kingdom. I believe God is training us, you and me, all over the globe, What does it mean to be God's people? How do we conduct ourselves in honor towards one another and also towards outside, other denominations, other churches, God's people? Because this is what made David David, Saul Saul. So long as we don't grab, don't rejoice in other people's failure, other ministries collapse, other people's pain, and we wait, bring honor, healing to one another, and stay there, always act honorably, we will never miss our appointment. We will never miss our destiny. Amen? This is really, really important. Even in your business, anything we do, this is what we've got to do. So, David gets anointed over all Israel, chapter 5. And then all the elders of Israel come, because David was never responsible. His heart is not against the rest of Israel. He's not about himself. It's about God's kingdom. And he becomes king over all Israel. Kingdom is united under David. And verse 12, he says this, David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, Israel. Amen. Who established David? The Lord. Who established you in your calling? The Lord. Did David lift his finger to push his way, to hurry his thing? No. The Lord established him for who? For what is the purpose? For his people. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, there's a little quotation. I want you to read it because I love it. He says, David was preoccupied with doing God's will, not with being king. He saw himself first as who he was before God, and second as who he was before men. David's greatest desire was to love and obey the Lord, regardless of the changing circumstances and seasons of his life. His primary life goal was not to be king, but to be obedient to God and to know his heart and to behold his beauty. Being king was secondary to David. That is what made David so different from Saul. It's good. We are people of destiny. God has a high calling upon all of us. Let's rejoice in obeying God, pleasing the Lord. Amen? And then be less concerned about external and what we look like outside. Now, this is the principle of Psalm 101. I believe we can study it. Let's read it. This is the principle, guiding principle of David's leadership. Whatever sphere of leadership God is giving you, this is so important. Honor and integrity. And that is David's guiding principle. First four verses, it's about his personal principle for himself. Leadership of himself. And then next one is how he built the team. David's personal integrity before God, first four verses. 5-8, David's leadership integrity in his team. This is how he built his team. So let's read together, and we're going to pray. I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. And then verse 5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. The one who has haughty look and proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land. that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. That was David's heart, his leadership. Now, of course, we're not going to go around and kill everybody physically. But he had a standard. Standard, you know, people could come to him with flattering lips. He will not have none of those. He will not honor those who will look like, you know, give him a lot of butter and advantage. Look at the heart. But David says, do you have this heart? I will act wisely. In my house, I will walk with perfect heart towards God. I will not set anything wicked before my eyes. I will not honor those who are treacherous, devious in their heart. I will honor those whose hearts are perfect towards God. This must be the cornerstone of every leadership in ministry and church, in our own lives. If you any sphere of influence, we must walk justly and honor, give honor where honor is due. Amen. Why don't we stand? We're going to pray. I want to pray for a few things. Yeah, I feel the Lord will move and he will touch us. But I want to pray. Let's cry out to God. Yeah. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before our eyes. And I'll hate the work of the evil. Amen. Can we just cry out to God? Let's ask the Lord. Lord, I want to act wisely. May the Lord give you wisdom of David in every area of your call and influence. And we will walk wisely. We will act wisely. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give us heart of David. Teach us deep wisdom, Lord God, that we may truly be successful before you. Hallelujah. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will give us discernment. Humility. Clothe us, O God, with humility. And Lord, clothe us, O God, with, Lord, power from on high, Lord Jesus. Lord, help, give us eyes to see through your eyes, O God. Each other, Lord God. Hallelujah. See, O God, Lord, your body, your people, Lord, that are hurting, Lord God. And Father, Lord, that we will not rejoice when our adversary fall, but we will rejoice with you, with righteous, Lord God, rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your blood of Jesus Christ wash us in the name of Jesus, O God. And Lord, wash away all unrighteousness, every word and the lips, Lord God, every wicked thing that we've, Lord God, beheld, wash our eyes clean, that we will see you, Lord. Father, our lips that have spoken against your people, slandered your people, Father, we pray that you wash us, O God. Father God, we pray that you will give us such wisdom, Lord God, to value people, Lord God, and Lord, to honor people, to bring healing into the body of Christ as you bring unity into the church in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for each and every one of us here. We are here because we have your call. We have heard your call, Lord. We pray, Lord, like David, we will behold your beauty. Father, we pray that the fire of God fall. Fire of God fall upon your people right now. In the name of Jesus. Fire of God fall. Hallelujah. Lord, fiery wisdom fall. Washing. Washing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're washing your people. Hallelujah. Give us a vision of the unity in the body of Christ. Give us, O God, a vision of what you're doing in the church, O God, today. Oh, Father. Hallelujah. I pray in the name of Jesus, those that Lord, you have marked out, Lord, with a call. I pray, O God, for the leaders that you're raising up in the body. Even here, Lord, we pray that you will set us apart, give us deep wisdom in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that GI, O God, will be agent of healing to the body, agent of unity in the body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the last song, we're going to sing it. I feel, how many, no shows, no shouting, but I feel the fire of God really is here. I want to pray for two things. I want to pray for, you feel, you know, the call of leadership. You feel, you know, it really hits me. God called me to bring healing. God is, body of Christ, I believe, is in transition. You feel a call of leadership. You need wisdom and washing. I want to pray for you, okay? And then I want to also pray for healing. Fire of God to fall and heal. Healing in the name of Jesus. We're going to sing once, and we're going to move in ministry time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you.
want me to be.
Pray for sick people. I'm gonna pray. Put your hands on you. Just put your hand up and put your hand wherever you're in pain. I'm gonna pray for shoulder pain. Who has a shoulder pain? Just put your hand up. People can just put your hand around. Yeah. Those people who put their hand up, put their shoulder. I'm gonna pray for the shoulder to loosen. Can you get around and put? Those people who don't need healing, your shoulder's fine, pray for those. Okay, in the name of Jesus, just we're gonna pray together at one moment. But just let's identify shoulder pain there, shoulder pain, 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 shoulder pain here. Can somebody get around? Yeah. And also their brother and his family. Yeah, everybody. Hey, someone laying hand, okay? All right. What we're going to do is we're not going to pray like, you know, Lord, please, please. We're going to just, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to rebuke this shoulder pain to go. So let me just lead in prayer. You follow with me and speak and just pray in spirit. Speak into the shoulder pain to go away, okay? In the name, follow with me. In the name of Jesus, I take authority that Jesus Christ has given us, that through His stripes we are healed. I speak to you, shoulder pain, in the name of Jesus, be gone. I rebuke you. The pain, leave. Right now, the muscular pain, leave. Muscles be healed. Sinews be healed. Nerves be healed. In the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I release the healing anointing. Healing flow into this body. In Jesus' name. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just move around and see right now. See how is it. Check it. Give thanks to the Lord. How is it? How is it? Anyone wants to? How is it? Oh, yeah, thank you. Let's just pray. Pray one more time. Yeah. We're going to believe. Because, you know, it's faith. It's not about always falling down and all that. In the name of Jesus. Just, okay, just lay hands on them and pray. In the name of Jesus, we command every pain in our body to leave, lift in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Shoulder pain, go. You name it, whatever it is. Go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall in the name of Jesus. Let your fire fall in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray every pain leave in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Okay. I'd like to maybe just pray for those who, you know, it's almost like, you know, this kind of word is not for everybody, maybe. But it's an important marker for you. I want to pray for you. This word really is for you. I want to pray for you. So just put your hand up. I'm going to pray if you feel called. You know, I want to behave wisely. Whatever the position of leadership that you have upon me, that you want to bring me to, I want the principle of integrity, principle of humility, principle of honor, principle in every thing that I do. So that, Lord, that your work, your calling upon me will not be hindered anymore. Because these things can really hinder us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just cry out to God for a little while. And if God brings any specific events that you got to repent, let's do it now. Let's put it right. If you've been dishonoring the body, you've been hurting the body, or you've conducted yourself in such a way. Let's just get it off, get rid of it right now with the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's receive forgiveness. Hallelujah. Receive wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you will be unhindered in your call. We will be unhindered. GI will be unhindered towards call to bring healing and unity into the body of Christ and build strong leadership wherever you are, whatever influence, because you will stand for what is right and not fear men and bring healing, honor, hallelujah, restoration wherever you go. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these people, beautiful, Lord God, people. We are in transition, Lord, and you've marked us out, oh God, to bring, Lord, healing and life and unity. So, Father, we pray that you will anoint us. Let your fire come. Wash away every failure. Oh, Father, lift every guilt, condemnation, shame in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That we will go forth and build your kingdom accurately according to your blueprint in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Prosper you like David. May you see the beauty of the Lord. May this church see the beauty of God in each person. Hallelujah. May we rejoice at other success. May we grieve at other people's failure. Hallelujah. May the Lord promote you. May the Lord give you dreams greater than you could ever think you can dream. Hallelujah. May the kingdom be built around you. May the Lord surround you with faithful friends. In the name of Jesus, bless you. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. And keep you. There's tea and coffee at the back. All right. We'll close the service. Thank you.